everybody. This is Dr. Taylor Hartman with Very Best of Living, and we have with us Kathy. Kathy Larson, how are you?
I'm great, Taylor. Good to hear you.
Always good to hear you. And off we go. We had a whole new series today. So we'd like to welcome our listeners. We hope that you're enjoying who you are and what you are and where you are. And Kathy, you always like to start with some questions. So here you're going to blindside me. We know. That's what you do best. So shoot.
Yes, I do that best.
Yes.
All right. So I have a couple of questions I've been thinking about since we talked before. So are you a New Year's resolution guy?
That's such a great question. I have been and I have not been. I have done both.
And this year?
Well, you know what's fun this year is I did my New Year's resolution in October. And the reason for that was I said, I don't really believe, you know how in the gyms, everybody signs up in January? And all the people that are really gym rats are like, oh, I hate January because people come. But February's great because they're gone. They don't last longer than a month. And I thought, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. So I set my New Year's resolution in October so that I am in a downhill slide by the time I get into the new year. So I'm actually feeling like I'm actually committed and I'm doing the things I'm doing. I'm not starting at ground zero. So my New Year's actually starts in October. And so that's how it works.
Can you share what you picked?
I actually picked to be fit and I am down to 180. So I made my goal and I did my thing and it's all been remarkable. And so now I'm kind of like, I'm going to go to 170. So it's kind of a fun way to have done my
goal. What's your ultimate goal?
170.
Yep. Is it?
Yep. That would be it.
Were you, have you found it to be easy or hard or what?
Easy. It's been so great. I love being held accountable. And so I joined that group called Noom. And I don't do any of the group stuff. I just love knowing that I have to put in what I'm eating. And I was so proud of myself. I can put in that I'm working out. And I just changed. I've been going for half an hour every day. Now I'm going back to an hour just because I like it. It feels good to me. So
what do? You walk or you run?
I walk. Yeah, 4.0.
Yeah.
And then lift some weights.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. It's been fun.
That's great. So, well, congratulations.
Thank
Good
you.
Job. You know, that accountability thing is so true.
Yes.
It is. I took a different stance this year because I go to the gym. I
all the time.
I am a gym rat myself.
Yes,
yeah.
You are.
And, I just decided this year because I'm always like so grouchy about people that go in January. And I really decided this year to not do that. So I go to this gym that, you know, you go at the same time and you see all the same people.
Right.
You know who usually goes.
Right.
So when these new people are there, I said, so every day I'm going to tell one person, hey, it's great to see you here. Because it's hard to go to the gym when you first start, right?
Yes,
and
it is.
Yes, it is. And you get kind of intimidated and you don't know what you're doing and you're looking around. And so I pick one person and it's like, hey, it's good to see you here. Did you just start working out? You know, people like to tell me what they're doing.
Oh my gosh, that is so great.
Yeah, I changed from being kind of a grouchy person about it.
Yes.
All right. Maybe they just need somebody to see them.
Kathy.
So they'll keep coming.
You know what? I honestly love what you just said. I mean, the truth is, so there's two choices, right? In fact, you talked about that book you recommended. By the way, I'm reading the book, The Choice.
Yes.
And in there, the idea being that you really do have two choices. You can either choose to be devastated and upset about life's circumstances or proactive and believing, right? And here you are, the gym rat, who instead of resenting those people that are taking over the bikes they don't need and they won't use in after a month, you're like befriending somebody, which is such a great mindset. Wow. Do you feel better when you do it?
Well, I will tell you, I do. And I will tell you probably, I'll make this short. So I recently had shoulder surgery.
Yes.
I was released. I was still in my sling, but he said I could go work out my legs. So
yeah.
I was there. And here's what changed me. Like I think it helped me, you know, we've talked about getting yourself and then getting over yourself, getting over myself a little bit was I could not, like, there's machines there that you have to load with the big weights. Like you put them on, they're just the weights that you put on the machine to do a leg press or to do, to do your hamstrings. Well, I never once, and I couldn't do it with one hand because they don't slide because with one hand, it's really hard to do with one hand.
Yep.
I tried and I was struggling and I was really, really failing.
Yes.
But, there was not one time in 4 weeks that I had to do that, that somebody didn't come over.
Wow.
Some beautiful soul didn't come over to help me load my machine and then unload it for me. Yes.
God, that's cool.
And I thought, I thought, and you just think, you can make up these things in your brain. And then, but it changed me, actually. It was like, yeah, people are so nice.
Yes.
They're really great people. You know?
Why can't I give the same thing to somebody else, right?
Exactly.
That's so
what
great.
I said. I said, so instead of walking in and being, you know, grouchy pants, like, oh, sure, you'll be gone.
Yeah.
Which I used to say every year.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh, that is such a powerful change. No, and you know what? I like what you just said, because it's very powerful when somebody, like, say, for example, you're good as a gym rat. Like, you know what you're doing. You love being there.
Yeah.
You can be arrogant. Yeah. You can be a jerk about it to people that are not as confident as you are in that arena.
Yep.
Or you can actually lift their game, right? And I love it when somebody chooses to give somebody else something they don't need. When someone actually goes out of their way to nurture in a way, like, you don't need that. You're comfortable in the gym. So going out of your way to make somebody else feel that way is, in my mind, what life really – that's when life really starts to kind of – the flywheel – moves. That's when you start really enjoying life, right? And I don't think you appreciate it as much until you're the one that needs to be helped. Like, when you realize, I can't do this alone, right? So cool.
It's a really bad, it's a weird feeling. You're so right. That vulnerability of, I can't, you know, and then I found myself the first couple of times, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And then I realized people, that this one guy finally went, he's so funny. I mean, he was like a guy you wouldn't expect. He's like, dude, it's fine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'll shut up now.
Oh, I love it. Like, I'm happy to do it. Leave it alone.
Leave it alone. Shut up.
I that's incredible. Well, you know, it's funny because my wife and I got COVID over the holidays.
Yeah.
And
oh, sorry.
I am not a very vulnerable person. I'm always like, I'll figure it out. I'm not worried about it. For one moment, we had planned to go shopping the day after we found out we got COVID. So we went to test for COVID, and that was when we were going to go shopping for food. And we have a place out in the mountains, so you're kind of reclusive, like you're out on your own.
Uh-huh.
And I remember for one day thinking, oh my gosh, we have no food. I can't go in and get it because I have COVID. She can't either. Nobody can actually do what needs to be done to feed us. And a very good friend of ours called and drove an hour with food and brought it to our doorstep and left it there, brought books for us to read, and then left. And I thought to myself, boy, you really appreciate people that step in and make your life better when you really are not able to. And it does make you, when you are vulnerable, more appreciative. Like, you really are grateful for people that go out of their way. They don't need it. She was totally healthy, totally fine, but we needed it. So that's kind of cool. I agree with you. That's it. Nice way to look at New Year's.
Yeah. I want to ask you a quick question. Have you always struggled, I don't know if you struggle with it, but vulnerability, you said I'm not a very vulnerable person.
Yeah, I don't think that I'm very comfortable with that very often. No, I think that I'm more tender, more sensitive. So I find ways just to kind of make things work. And I was raised in a home where my mom was totally so red that it was not really an option. Like, you just have to figure it out.
To be vulnerable.
Right. Just get it together. I mean, I can still remember things like working as a scraper in the kitchen over at school to pay for my meals, and never dawned on me, like, here I am with this apron scraping food off trays for everybody. And, you know, it never dawned on me that I could do anything other than do that, because she just said, that's how it works. You're going to pay for your meal, and that's how you do it. So I just kind of always have been that way my life.
Huh.
So the good thing is,
I was just going to say, I love when sometimes that forced vulnerability, like me in the gym, or you sick and needing food, you go, oh, it's, and the other person feels so good helping you, by the way.
They do.
Right?
Their lives are better for it. That's exactly right.
Lives are better for it. Yeah. So.
And it gives people opportunities.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So I that's a good way to look at the new year, I think. Anyway, it's kind of cool.
That
mindset. That was good.
Yes, for sure.
Other questions, or are we ready to go?
Well, I did have one. I said, I'd like to know if there's, what is one thing that you're really grateful for right now? Right now.
I think it's my wife. I was thinking about what life would be if I were alone. And so many people are so alone in life. Even some that are married are alone. And I was realizing how fortunate I am when I wake up, I have her to share my life with, to talk about things with, to go places with. And that I don't know, it means a lot to me. It means a ton to me. And I feel for people that don't
make her
have
listen
that.
To this one. No, for sure. For sure.
You know, I think.
Or appreciate it, yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad for people that don't have that connection or, you know, that feeling of, you know, camaraderie. So for me, what about you? What would you say? Since you asked the question, I'll ask back.
Right now in my life, I think, well, now this is going to sound stupid because you said it, but my husband, no, it is, but it really is. I mean, I wouldn't, my husband Paco, who we have just been on this journey of, since I've been hurt or since I've had this injury and he takes such great care of me.
Yep.
And I'm a yellow, and so sometimes it's smothering. So what I so am grateful for is the fact that he doesn't get shut down when I go, can we rework this? You know, like, hey, I love what you're doing, but dude, you got to back off. And he's like, sure. Okay, honey, what do you need? That piece of life.
That's impressive.
When it is.
It is impressive.
It really is.
Instead of being the wounded blue, you know? How come you don't appreciate what I'm doing, making it about them? He does not make that about him.
Yeah.
That's impressive. You bet that is.
Yeah, it just happened today, so that's why it's like right in my face today.
Yeah, well, that isn't it wonderful to feel like you can speak your mind and your truth without feeling like there's a consequence you're going to pay for?
Oh, exactly.
You know, it's funny you say that. I was thinking about this the other day. There are people that love intimacy. They love connecting. They love sharing. They love talking. But they are so judgmental that the very thing they want people to do with them, people don't do because they judge them all the time. Mm-hmm. And yep. I was thinking about that with this mom who's just a great mom. She loves her kids, loves life. She's a very good person, but she's very judgmental. And her son said to me, I don't want to talk about things because she'll always judge them. It's never like I can just talk it through and have curiosity. I get judgment. So when I told her about this, she was really stunned. I mean, there were tears and I can't believe I'm doing this to myself. Why would I do that? And I don't mean that. What I mean more is just to speak my mind because I have opinions and that kind of stuff. So I was thinking about that in terms of people's motives, like when they don't realize her need to make a point with her child was more important than her need to hear him. And as a result of that, she was cutting herself off from intimacy, which she craves. So I do think it's really important for people to start thinking about, what am I doing to enhance the quality of my life? Like Paco, your husband, could take the approach of, you know what? I'm just going to stop doing everything because obviously you don't appreciate me, which is what some people do.
Yes.
That's exactly what they do.
Yes.
Or when you're healthier as he is, you're able to say, okay, so she doesn't need what I would want to give. She doesn't need what I might need. Okay, what does she need? And go from there as opposed to making it a sticking point. So cool. So impressive.
No, it's just true love. I mean, like that's what love is to me, you know, like when you look at it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's such a cool thing to hear about. So I'm glad you asked that question. Gratitude is still a very important element of life. That's a spiritual piece of life. And people that are not real grateful, they have some real work to do, you know, getting the chip off their shoulder, why life is not what they thought it should have been. So that's part of our work. That's what we do. It's interesting. I will tell you, during this COVID nightmare for the past 9 months, I've seen a lot of people's mental health come under question. Like a lot of people have finally started to own, they have no clue how to navigate this emotionally, spiritually, or mentally. They're just angry. And anger always comes when you feel powerless. Like you'll never be angry in your life if you're powerful to do something. But once you're powerless, you'll go to anger as a natural step, right? And so I think it's good for our listeners to think about, well, what am I angry about? And what's my ownership in that? What am I doing to help create that anger instead of solving the problem? That goes to our topic today.
It's just funny how when we're talking things that are happening, I realized this morning that, you know, as you try to solve those problems, like what's going on and sending your kids out into the world and COVID and what can you control and what not. And for me, in my world, what I have, you know, my spirituality is that I really can't, I can make sure I'm safe and wear my mask and those things, but I really think it's in a hand bigger than mine. Right. I mean, I think that I just, for me, you know, my, that's what it is, putting it in God's hands and saying, I have no idea why that's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah. I know you got me.
It's in better hands. It's in better hands with him than with you. That's the humility piece. Right?
Absolutely.
Because I have other people that say to me, well, he hasn't done a very good job. So as far as I'm concerned, I think about that friend of mine she got so sick of God that she got a job at the post office, and she was telling me about how she's so disappointed in him. And I said, but you trust the post office? Are you kidding me? but it is kind of a perspective thing. I have to tell you, one of the funniest things, and this is just my favorite moment for New Year's. We have a tradition in the Hartman home. It's called throwing pancakes on the roof. Now, what that means is you go outside at midnight and you throw pancakes on the roof. And if they land on the roof, then you have good luck for the year. And if they don't, then you have bad luck. So you, and
how
you
many have, chances do you get?
Yeah, as many as you need. You can keep doing it until you get it on the roof. So you're not stuck if it doesn't go there. So, but you do have to get it on the roof. That is the idea at the end. So I was a missionary in Denmark over 50 years ago. So for 40 years, I would lecture all over the world, and I would talk about different aspects of life. And one of the things I talked about was this Danish tradition of people going out at midnight and throwing pancakes on the roof for good luck. And about 10 years ago, I was talking to a young man who was my companion at the time, who was he's an older man now like me, right? And he goes, what are you talking about? That's not a Danish tradition. I said, of course it is. Like in Denmark, we would take the bread and the pancakes and throw them on the roof, and that was good luck. He goes, what are you smoking? What are you talking about? That is not a Danish tradition. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? I was so stunned, Kathy. I could not believe this was happening. So then he says to me, you know what I bet you're referring to? Like when you and I were working as assistants to the president would take us outside and throw bread and pancakes on the roof for the birds after we ate. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know that moment when you're caught, like totally your pants are down, like you have nothing, you're like so vulnerable. Like I've lied for 40 years to the world, calling this a Danish tradition. So. The entire time. And so now I just have to admit it's a Hartman tradition. It's not a Danish tradition, right? So I posted.
Damn good tradition.
Well, so I posted this because I think it's so funny to laugh at yourself and like, how could I have thought this all these years? But it's still a fun thing. All my kids do it. Everybody does it. It's a fun way. So I got people's responses to me were so intriguing. Like some people said, what a fun thing to do. Other people said, aren't you worried about like the birds and the rats that it brings? And other people said, what a waste of food. And I'm like, oh my goodness. From this one experience, you could see so many different ways people look at life. It was just intriguing.
Yeah.
And several people said to me, well, what happened last year? And all I could say to them was, I missed the roof. I mean, what are you going to say, right? Like clearly it's a joke. Like, I don't really believe it. I just do it for fun. But it's interesting just how people take things in life. And I loved it. It was a great experience. Honestly, it was like one of those moments I'm like, oh, this is perfect for a shrink to experience people and their take on life.
I'm doing it next year.
It's a fun. Kathy, you'll love it. It's fun. It is, especially when the neighbors go, what are you doing? Right?
Say, come on over, throw a pancake.
That's exactly right. So again, we're talking about attitude. We're talking about that mindset, that shift, right? And I am well aware. It's funny, we talk about this, Kat. I've always been a happy person, as are you. And so I've often thought about that as being, well, who wouldn't want to be happy? And I've come to realize that for many people, not just some, many people, that's not really in their ballpark. That's not in their wheelhouse. It's just not something that I should wish on them because it makes them feel inadequate. Like they may be comfortable just being satisfied, not happy.
Right.
So it's those kind of awarenesses as I've gotten older, I'm more willing to accept that we don't all have to have the same things, same needs met to be okay with our lives, right? But for those of us that when we do know ourselves, when we really do know what makes us tick, for us that don't get that met, shame on us. Then it's our problem. Once you know what those things are and how you can go about making them happen, kind of like what I was saying about that mom wanting intimacy, but then shutting your kid down by being critical. I think once you know what you want, then look at yourself and say, now, what am I doing to make that happen? And it's kind of fun. Like when you talk about as a yellow, who's a gym rat, and taking the attitude instead of being a grump about it, but being the more natural you, which is a happy soul, inviting people in, being friendly, that really does kind of feel you. That's who you are. It should seem more natural, right?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping all of our listeners will think about what is it you really, what is it that motivates you? What do you really want your life to be about? And then ask yourself, what am I doing to enhance that? Or what am I doing to prevent that from happening? When I see a spouse, for example, that is so angry at her husband and all she wants is for him to want her, I said, honey, there's nothing anyone would want about you right now. Like, you're not wantable. Well, you'd feel the same way if he treated you. And I said, well, stop right there. You said you wanted him to want you. You said that. I didn't say that. So if you want that, what you're doing will prevent that from ever happening. That's all I'm saying. Well, yeah, but if he would, and I said, I don't think you understand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying he's not the problem. I'm saying his problem is none of your business. Your problem is you said you want something and you're doing everything you can to prevent it from happening. That's on you. That's your mindset. So those moments when people can just be humble enough to stop and go, wow, this is truly mine. This is nobody else's. That's when you begin to grow. That's when you begin to enhance the quality of your life.
Yeah, I love that. Talk just a little bit about the steps we've taken so far and what step we're at, Taylor, in terms of getting to our motives and being clear on them. Because we started with value of self.
Yeah, so there are six major steps. So the first one is you got to learn to love you. It's funny we're talking about that. In reading that book called The Choice, I was interested in this gal's approach to the people that therapists that impacted her. And one of the ones she loved so much was Carl Rogers. And Rogerian theory was taught when I was in school, bored me to tears. And the idea of saying to a client, what I hear you saying is, and it's very non-confrontational, very loving, very accepting, and it would put me to sleep. I was like, shoot me. If I have to do that as a therapist, I don't want to be doing it because this bores me to tears. What I recognized, and this Carl Rogers had touched her life, this Auschwitz survivor, in a very, very pronounced way, because she is a perfectionist that was broken, that didn't love herself. So what he brought to her was a very different experience than what he brought to me, who I think I'm wonderful. I love myself. I was never needing someone to validate me that I was okay. So what I liked about that was it made me realize that we all come from a different place in terms of valuing ourselves. Some of us are raised not to value ourselves, and we think we're wonderful. Others are raised to be so loved, and they don't love themselves. Doesn't happen. They never buy it. So that's the first step, is getting in touch with what is it I like about me, and what am I doing about enjoying the things I love about me? Instead of complaining, whining, blaming, just embracing life on those terms. And then the second step was seeking truth. And the reason that that's so important is that I find people are upside down, especially in today's world. They don't really know what is truth. Like they get caught up in thinking, what I call them are small T truths. That means I like to play tennis, you like to garden. I'm going to tell you that gardening is wrong, you should play tennis. So I'm going to make a small T truth into a capital universal truth and make your life miserable until you embrace it. And then on the other hand, there are capital T truths. For example, free agency. Like people have to have the right to make choices in order to grow. So knowing the difference in what are capital T truths and what are small T truths, like why this survivor of Auschwitz was so moved by Carl Rogers, when I, on the other hand, who like myself, it wasn't, it makes total sense. You get it better, understanding where it's coming from and why it matters, right?
Yeah, that's really clear.
So I love that one because it sets kind of like in baseball, it's second base. It aligns the field. It makes it so it's clean. And in life, I find with mental health, so many people don't understand basic truths of mental health. They don't get them. So if you did math the way we do mental health, you'd be a nut job because nothing adds up. It would never add up. In mental health, so many people say, well, it depends because I was raised this way, so therefore, or I'm a girl and you're a guy, so therefore. I mean, they're always justifying reasons and excuses for why things can't be true. And I like the math mindset. Well, stop doing that. Just accept truth. The truth is, for example, whatever was done to you before you were 18 was done to you. Now it's on you. You're 18. Own it. Figure out the life you want to have. That's on you. If you want to keep whining about what happened to you before you're 18, you can do that. But you have ownership from 18 on. It's your life. And there are many people that say, well, that's cruel. Don't be so mean to people. I'm saying, that's fine. You call it being mean. I call it freeing them. Freeing them to actually own the life they want to live versus the one that was imposed on them. Those kinds of things are so critical to me. Forgiveness. We've talked about that before. Some people just don't want to do it. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Just know you're painting yourself as a prisoner in your own life. And that doesn't mean what happened to you was right. I'm not saying it's good, fair, none of the above. But if you stay stuck owning, controlling somebody's destiny, not forgiving, not letting go, then they own you too. You know, the prison guard has to be at the prison just like the prisoner. So you're stuck either way.
Yeah. 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 That's so good. And as you work all of the people in the companies and the things that you've done in your life, as you've looked at that, there are people get stuck in that. Do they want to be heard? I mean, cause there's a choice. I either move forward or I get stuck here.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
So what's the space between I'm moving forward or I want to stay stuck here because of the work, because of the, I want to be recognized that it's not my fault. I mean, is there a ton of things?
Yeah,
there are a number of things that people fit in.
Yeah, it's a great question. And there are many things and there are many reasons people choose to stay stuck and excuse themselves as opposed to moving forward. Sometimes they just honestly are too afraid. They just don't have any idea what to do, right? I was talking to a young man just this week, and it's just interesting. His dad was saying, I'm so sick of all my kids being home. He's 23, his sister's 25, and the dad feels like a failure. So the dad, of course, is putting his angst on his kids. But in all fairness, I said to the young man, I said, so what if I told you in 6 months you have to be out of the house? Like you are on your own. Like figure this out. And this is a young man who's very, very frightened of change, doesn't do well in school, has a hard time, you know, finding ways to make life work for himself. But he's a phenomenal worker, goes to work every day. But what he makes for an income is not enough to sustain him individually. And so I said, what if I said that to you? And he said to me, I'm in panic right now. Like literally hearing what you're saying to me, I'm in panic and I'm stuck and I'm overwhelmed. So it didn't motivate him to find a way to move out of the home. It paralyzed him. And only because he's afraid. He's so fear-based.
Sure.
If the same thing had been said to me, my mind would have been clicking 100 miles an hour. I'll do this. I'll go here. I'll do this. The same thing said to two different people is a totally different experience, right? The second idea is I do think you made a point when you said some people just want to be understood. They really just want you to know what they've been through. And until somebody can navigate that with them, they can't seem to let it go. Whereas other people could care less. If you ever understand, move on. But other people are like, no, I just want somebody to know what I experienced or what I went through. And then maybe I can step forward. So that's fine, except that you are then vulnerable to somebody not coming along to understand. And even when you do get understood, you still have to do something. You still have to change your mindset to move forward. Because moving forward is a different experience than accepting the past. They're different skills. And there has to be a faith, trust, confidence, commitment. There's so many dimensions that go towards really addressing your issues and changing that I don't think people understand why I probably admire them so much. People that make that choice, because I don't think it's an easy choice to make. Although, I will be honest, any listener who's choosing to stay stuck, to me, that's more energy than choosing to move forward. I don't think you realize the energy you're sustaining just to remain stuck. So, but it's what they know, so maybe it's comfortable.
Yeah, for sure. So now our next step is what? So we went from truth to now we're looking at my motive, your motive.
The motive is, it's everything. If people ever ask me, for example, what is the kind of therapy you do? I always tell them it's motive therapy. Like the beauty of the color code is it tells you really who you are. I mean, how could you not want to know that as a kind of a basis to understand you? Ironically, there's people that even resent that. Don't tell me I'm like a color. Don't tell me I'm in a box. They don't have any clue how freeing it is to know, ah, that makes sense to me now. Now I can grow from there. But at the same time, I find the motive for change, the motive for trust, the motive for shifting mindsets, all of that, like, is it a healthy motive or an unhealthy motive? Is it a clean motive? Is it a dirty motive? Those elements are the essence of quality of life, essence. Every time you do something for a dirty motive, like you do it for image, I'm doing it just to look good, I promise you, you're building a brick wall. You are creating for yourself a crash. Something's going to happen to hurt you. Now, you may not look at that. You may not think about that. You may be just focused on looking good just to protect yourself from judgment, but you are building a brick wall. And every time, let's take your example of befriending somebody who comes to the gym. Every time someone chooses a clean motive, it is not to enhance them. It's to do the right thing. They build a freeway. They open up all sorts of possibilities. You'll meet somebody that you never would have met before, and your life will be enhanced. I mean, things will happen when a clean motive is used. When you parent a child with clean motives, it may not always feel like it's working, but I guarantee you, you're building a freeway. You're opening up the possibilities just by being clean. But if you're doing it with a dirty motive, I want to control you, I'm afraid of you, I don't trust you, I don't believe in you, every single time you act based on those motives, you're creating a brick wall, which is like going to create a crash. And that's why it's so important to understand. Why is it clean or why is it dirty? Go ahead.
No, that's what I was just going to ask you. You were so smart. That's what I was just going to ask is, you know, I can tell myself it's a clean motive and I can convince myself it's a clean motive because of the wrong reasons, correct?
Right.
I mean, that's where I feel that things get sideways.
They get muddy. They do. And especially if
they really get muddy.
And if you have people in your life that are muddy, they'll feed you even more mud. They won't feed you truth. You know what we'll do? Let's. This is going to be heavy. Let's get into it next time. We'll make this our focus next time. Tell all of our listeners, thank you so much. We love having you with us. We hope you enjoyed today. Very interactive. Pat, it's always a pleasure. And we're signing off for now. Goodbye, everybody.
All right. Talk to you next week.
You bet. Bye.
Hey, Color Code family, it's Kathy Larson. I want you to take down a number. I want you to put this in your contact list under the people code. The number is 385-526-2350. Again, 385-526-2350. Text the word VIP to that number and you'll get back from us a request for your name and your email. That way we'll be in touch with you on anything that's happening at the People Code, any offerings, exciting things that are coming up, and you can let us know what your needs are by texting us at that number. Look forward to staying connected even more. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.